I'm Jim Ladd, and we're back with the world premiere of a new box set entitled The Jimi Hendrix Experience, which, by the way, will be released on September the 12th. Now, one of the most fascinating aspects of this collection are the live recordings from the early days of Hendrix's career. And finding these old tapes was something like going on an archaeological dig. Some were thought to have been lost, others were in poor physical condition, and some were not even known to exist before this project began. I asked Eddie Kramer what it was like to embark upon this search for some of rock's most important musical treasures. We'll begin with a song called Killin' Floor.
I'll have a go at it first, but John, I'm sure has got a lot to give to this one. I just wanted to say that when I started to process some of these tapes, and we were fortunate enough to get, say, that the tape from Paris of Jimmy's first live performance, approximately a month after the band had been formed. It's such an amazing find. When you find something like that, it's like, oh my God, we have found this is an historic tape. It was recorded by a Paris radio station, and that's just a small example of what's in there. John, please take it.
Well, that was a track that, as Eddie said, Paris Radio had recorded. And at the time, I remember interviewing Chaz Chandler many years ago, and he didn't believe that the show had been recorded. And that was a great disappointment to him. He remembered the introduction because Jimmy was behind the curtains with him, and the French MC was out trying to, you know, get the crowd excited about the experience. And Chaz recalled it in great detail. And a few years back, we found out that because Johnny Hallyday was such a major star in France at the time, they had in fact recorded the show, and that Jimmy's opening set was still in existence. So we were able to make arrangements for it to be part of the box set. And true to Chandler's memory, it was exactly how he had described it. They had a stepped introduction for Jimmy. He came right out on stage and launched right into Killin' Floor, and the crowd went wild.
Jimmy Hendrix!
Should've put you, hey,
The very first single ever released by the Jimi Hendrix Experience was actually a cover version of a song by a band called The Leaves, and the tune was, of course, Hey Joe. Now, as you'll hear, Jimmy and his producer Chaz Chandler spent a long time refining Jimmy's rendition before it became the version that we are so familiar with today. John McDermott.
The interesting thing on that particular version of Hey Joe is that Chaz told a great story of how Jimmy wanted his vocal buried more in the mix. And, you know, they had their first argument based on this. Chaz really felt that the vocal needed to be up front. And just by chance, he had Jimmy's passport and papers on him because he had been in London that day getting some stuff cleared for him. And he says, well, if you don't agree, he slammed the passport down on the board and said,
here's your passport, lad.
You can go. And Jimmy laughed. He says, well, you called my bluff. He said, okay, I know what you want. So I just think you hear in this particular alternate version, too, you hear the not only the rapport between them, but even though Hey Joe was the single that they had all their hopes pinned on, Jimmy still had a sense of humor, and there was a lot of fun and exuberance in their effort to kind of make the single as great as it could be.
Well, you know, there seems to be a nice history. If you look right through this whole album, there's a lot of background vocal parts that Jimmy either instigated or Chaz instigated, or Jimmy either sang or he got people to sing. When it was tricky parts, I think they would employ background vocals. I think on the Hey Joe sessions, the one that's on here that you're referring to, they're pretty out of tune. They were scrapped, and of course the Breakaways, who were hired, who were the top professionals in those days, they were hired to do the parts. And then eventually, of course, it was overdubbed and mixed, and the rest is history, as they say in France.
Hey Joe, oh god damn, one more time. Hey, make the voice a little lower and the band a little louder, okay? Oh, where are you going with the... Okay, wait. I'm going out to shoot my old lady. You know, I kind of mess around with another man. I'm going down to shoot my lady. You know, I kind of mess around with another man. Hey, Joe, I heard you shot your woman down. Hey Joe,
Before meeting Chaz Chandler, Jimi Hendrix paid his dues on the Chitlin circuit, playing guitar for people like Little Richard. But when Chandler first saw him in a little club in Greenwich Village in 1966, Chandler knew immediately that he was in the presence of greatness. The first step was to put a band together. But where was he going to find other musicians that could keep up with this primal force of nature?
Well, Chaz Chandler held an open audition. Once Jimmy was brought to London, he needed to have a band. And Chaz said, we'll get a rhythm section for you. And Noel saw an advertisement in one of the local British newspapers.
New Musical Express, was it?
Yeah, for the audition for the Animals, the New Animals. And so he came up with his guitar. And, you know, Hendrix saw him, liked his hair, and said, hey, why don't you sit in with this? And he borrowed Chaz Chandler's bass, and they hit it off, and he was in. And then Mitch Mitchell was recruited for the group. It came down to a coin flip between Ainsley Dunbar and Mitch. And Chaz and Jimmy flipped a coin. Mitch got the gig, and the experience, you know, I would think a week, 10 days later, we're off to Paris.
Drummer Mitch Mitchell.
I got a call from Chaz Chandler, who I knew kind of briefly from working when he was playing bass with the Animals. We did a few gigs. And he said, listen, you know, I got this guy coming over. I've just brought him over from the States. I hear that, you know, you're available. You know, why don't you come and have a play? And okay. So I turn up, like, I think the next day at this sleazy little strip club in the middle of the afternoon in a basement in the middle of Soho in London. And there was Noel Redding. And Chaz saw him, and he had quite long hair, and said, you know, hey, you know, you fancy playing bass? So Noel had never picked up a bass in his life, but said, well, you know, yeah, you know. So he was there, and there was Jimmy, who had the equivalent of, I'm going to say it's like a London fog raincoat, and there was this massive hair, very quiet guy. There were these two tiny little amplifiers, little Burns amplifiers. And so I set up the drums, and it was like the lowest common denominator, you know, well, what do we know kind of deal. I think we did like Midnight Hour, a couple of Chuck Berry things, you know, it's really who knows what. And for some reason, I mean, I just went, hey, I think I mentioned Curtis Mayfield. And Jimmy just pulled out that style immediately. And it was the first time I'd ever heard anyone that could play that style. So that kind of floored me. So that really got Jimmy and myself off to a pretty good start.
I don't think you could ever do that today with a band, put a band like the Jimi Hendrix Experience together and like in a week, 10 days, go to Paris and do your first gig. It's like almost unheard of.
I mean, the amazing thing is that, you know, he went to Paris without a single original song. I mean, you know, Hey Joe was a song that Chaz felt could be a hit, and Jimmy was already doing in his live shows. And other than that, they did cover songs and blues songs, and it wasn't until they got back to London, they'd had the success of this little tour behind them, that Jimmy wrote Stone Free, which was the first song he had ever written, you know, for the Experience. The version that we've come to know that's was the B-side originally of Hey Joe, was the first ever original song Jimmy wrote leading the Experience. This particular version was, they revisited the song essentially almost 3 years later in America, and it's a far more sophisticated arrangement, and you can hear Jimmy starting to bring some of the more R&B influence into his rhythm guitar playing. And it was cut with Mitch and Noel. It was, the song at that time had not yet been released in the United States, and I think Jimmy might have had an eye towards putting it out on a future record. Later that summer, Reprise put out Smash Hits, and the song finally came out, and at that point it was kept on the shelf, and it has never really been issued in this form until now.
Well, man, hey, and that's why. relax your grip.
More from the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set when our world premiere broadcast continues on the SFX Radio Network.
One of the highlights of the Experience Music Project in Seattle is the ongoing exhibit, Jimi Hendrix Gallery, where you can see firsthand the Fender Stratocaster played by Hendrix at Woodstock, a drum set used by Mitch Mitchell during the Experience years, the mixing console from his Electric Lady studio, and an Electric Ladyland lyric notebook handwritten by Hendrix. These are just some of the collection highlights of the Jimi Hendrix Gallery at the Experience Music Project in Seattle.
Good morning, Iconella. Morning, Lactobacillus. Morning, Porphymonas.
Say good morning to a few million germs. They've been building up in your mouth all night, and some of them can lead to the gum disease gingivitis. Now say goodbye with Listerine. Just 30 seconds of Listerine when you wake up kills germs, even germs that can cause gingivitis. Use Listerine every morning and start the day with a healthier mouth. See your dentist. Use as directed when brushing and flossing aren't enough.
It's a very uneasy feeling to not be sure whether or not you're pregnant. Especially when you don't want to be. The uncertainty is really hard. I'm trying to block the consequences out right now until I know one way or the other.
From the first time you use it, the EPT pregnancy test is easy to read, and it's over 99% accurate in lab tests.
This is about as nervous as I've ever been. I just want to know for sure.
EPT. So accurate, we call it the error-proof test. Use as directed, see your doctor as recommended.
I want my company to be a positive environment where employees have the support they need to succeed.
The resources you offer say a lot about your company. And a workplace substance abuse treatment referral program is one way to let employees know you care.
The bottom line, helping my employees is good business.
Call the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP.
I'll have a 16-ounce soda.
I'll have a 48-ounce bucket of cola.
Notice how we're drinking more soft drinks than ever?
Yeah, I'll have a drum of pop.
A lot more. And probably not brushing right after. Chew on this. Chewing Trident after sugared soft drinks can actually help prevent cavities from forming. When you're not free to brush...
Can I just stick my head under the spigot?
Chew on this. Trident.
This world premiere broadcast is brought to you by the U.S. Army. Be all you can be. Buy certs with Retsyn for fresh breath that lasts. Keep your cool longer. Buy EPT. Buy Listerine. And by KC Masterpiece Barbecue Sauce. When you're serious about great barbecue, this is the SFX Radio Network.